Hey, this is Brock, and you have found the Sun on the Strip podcast. I'm the entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'll be your guide to everything that's happening in entertainment this week on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. As always, you can find this podcast at lasvegassun.com/podcasts, or even better, subscribe to the Sun on the Strip at Apple Podcasts to make sure you never miss a single episode. I'm hoping you're listening to this on Wednesday, December 18th. Last week, the folks at Bellagio and MGM Resorts offered a preview of the entertainment programming at the Mayfair Supper Club, a brand new venue opening on New Year's Eve at the site of the former Hyde Bellagio nightclub, right on the water's edge of the man-made lake where the fountains of Bellagio do their thing every day. I'm going to give you my own version of that preview for this exciting new nightlife option on the Strip, but first, let's do some news. Major Domo held a preview of its own at the Palazzo on Saturday. This is Momofuku chef David Chang's second Vegas restaurant. It's taking over the spot where Mario Batali's Carnivino used to do business at the Palazzo. Now, last week I incorrectly reported the restaurant would be open this week. It's actually scheduled to open on December 30th, and reservations can be made for Major Domo starting on the 23rd. Chang also unveiled an accompanying dining concept just across from Major Domo. It's called Moon Palace, and it's basically his take on sliders. He calls his mini burgers tasties, and he serves them on sweet Hawaiian rolls. Major Domo is the Vegas version of his LA restaurant, but Moon Palace is new for Vegas, and it's set to open in January. Momofuku opened at the Cosmopolitan in 2017 and is still going strong across the Strip. It actually just dropped a new lunch menu, and you can read all about that in this week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly Magazine. Speaking of the Cosmopolitan, comedian Bill Burr will perform the first two shows of a two-year residency at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan on March 21st and June 20th. Burr sold out two shows at the Chelsea earlier this year. He's going to play there again this weekend and has become the second comedy resident at the 3,200-seat venue. Adam Sandler played a series of shows there in the past couple years. Burr has a role in the new Disney Plus series, The Mandalorian, and is curating the newly announced stand-up series, The Ringers, on Comedy Central. Tickets for his first Chelsea shows of 2020 go on sale this Friday, December 20th. ZZ Top is returning to the Strip as well. The three-man Texas blues rock outfit played a limited run earlier this year at the Venetian Theater and will be back for five more shows in late March. Tickets for those concerts also go on sale this Friday. ZZ Top celebrated 50 years together as a band last year and played five shows at the Venetian in 2018 as well. Don't forget, ZZ Top is working with Caesars Entertainment and others to produce a rock musical called Sharp Dressed Man. That project was announced in May of this year, and at that time it was planned to open sometime in 2020, somewhere in Las Vegas, almost certainly at a Caesars property. I'll be keeping an eye on that. Do you remember the Jets? I do. They were, or are, a family band based in Minneapolis that had a handful of pop hits in the 80s, like Crush on You, You Got It All, Make It Real, and Rock It to You. I'm an 80s and 90s kid, so I could easily sing you these songs, but I'll spare you the punishment for now. The Jets have a new show on the Las Vegas Strip starting this week. It's called The Jets 80s and 90s Experience. It's a tour of their own chart-topping hits from that era, as well as the group paying tribute to other songs and artists that inspired them and were popular around the same time. The show is at 7 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday at the V Theater inside the Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood, and you can get ticket info at vtheater.com. Clearly, I'm interested in checking this one out. It sounds like something fun and different for that venue, which otherwise hosts a whole bunch of smaller scale production shows like Vegas the Show and Zombie Burlesque and the Motown Review Hitsville. So it'll be interesting to see if this nostalgic music show from another era can make some noise there. A bit of nightclub news this week. Ludacris will join the hip-hop and R&B roster at Dre's at the Cromwell. Obviously a great fit. Ludacris has been performing at Light at Mandalay Bay in the last couple of years, so he's making the jump to the center of the Strip at the Rooftop Club, where other rappers like 2 Chainz, Big Sean, French Montana, Meek Mill, and Migos are already in the lineup. His first show at Dre's of the new year will be on January 18th. And Wynn Nightlife has announced the lineup for the springtime edition of Art of the Wild, the weekend dance music mini festival that takes over XS Nightclub and Encore Beach Club, and is set to return March 13th through 15th. Among the artists are Bedouin, Blondish, Bob Moses, Chris Lake, Fisher, Guy Gerber, Loco Dice, and Rufus Du Sol. And while I'm talking clubs, let's do New Year's Eve, because last week on the show, I did a quick rundown of big New Year's Eve concerts on this trip. Some of the big names in the clubs on December 31st this year are Future at Dre's, Mustard at Marquee, The Chainsmokers at XS, Nas at Tau, Lil Jon at One Oak, Steve Aoki at Hakkasan, T-Pain at Light, Samantha Ronson at On the Record, and Calvin Harris at Omnia. All the best info for New Year's Eve entertainment in Las Vegas is going to be in next week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly Magazine, so pick it up or check it out at lasvegasweekly.com. New Year's Eve will also mark the debut of the Mayfair Supper Club at Bellagio. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I attended a media preview last week designed to showcase the entertainment elements at Mayfair, which MGM Resorts is characterizing as an immersive dining venue. I'd say it's a restaurant with live entertainment that changes throughout the evening. And at the sneak peek, which was held at a makeshift rehearsal space at the closed bar that used to be the Double Barrel Saloon connected to Park MGM, we learned that there's quite a bit of production behind that live entertainment, as well as a definite theme. The theme is the Roaring Twenties for the 2020s. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa. No, it don't mean a thing. All you gotta do is swing. Do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa-do-wa. Makes no difference if it's sweet or it's cold. Give it all the rhythm that you got. No, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Just a taste there of some of the music performed at the preview. So there will be a live band under the musical direction of Jean-Francois Thibault, who has worked with Cirque du Soleil, Boyz II Men, Human Nature, Matt Goss, and lots more. There will be lots of dancing. And the choreographer is Dana Foglia, who has a stacked resume from working with Beyoncé, Rihanna, Janet Jackson, and more. And there will be layers of costuming and vintage jazz and swing style and great singers and an overall vibe of old school made current and cool. Everything that I saw and heard made me think of two recent shows at MGM Resorts properties: the short but sensational Postmodern Jukebox show at the Mirage, and Brian Newman After Dark at the Nomad at Park MGM. Both of these shows make that connection between the idea of vintage Vegas and having cocktails while you watch a live performance, and using jazz and other music from a certain era to induce feelings of nostalgia, but presenting it all in a modern and fun way. I think MGM really likes the vibe of those shows and is giving us some more at Mayfair, and also thinks it's a natural fit at Bellagio and for the Bellagio clientele. And I agree. And the key creatives that MGM is working with to program Mayfair, besides the two people I just named, are the writers Nikki and Letitia Dewhurst, both performers from the world of Cirque who have grown into these other roles, and No Ceilings Entertainment, a company founded in 2016 by Kim Wilecki, Phil Shaw, and Dennis Jausch. I'm certain I'm mispronouncing these names. Kim and Dennis became friends when they competed as teenagers on So You Think You Can Dance Germany and went on to choreograph and produce. And Phil Shaw comes from a visual arts background. They do a lot of work in fashion, and this is a big get for them. This is Kim and Dennis talking about the Mayfair project last week.
Our inspiration very obviously is the famous jazz era. We have the 1920s of New York City. We have the glamorous 1950s swing and jazz era here right in Las Vegas. And we want to recreate, reimagine this famous jazz era in the Mayfair Supper Club.
Do you want to talk about the name, the Mayfair?
I love the Mayfair. So we both used to live in London, actually. Obviously, the Mayfair is the most prestige era in London, and we're really taking inspiration from the Mayfair, from the supper clubs, from the entertainment in London. You know, it has a lot of history over there, so we took this and want to bring some European culture into Las Vegas.
Exactly, and then we just want to talk about the evening, right? So basically, the Mayfair is not going to be your usual restaurant, obviously. And what we're also doing is we're not taking a standard supper club model, but we're opening up the doors. So that means that there are no set seating times. So you can come at any time during the night, and you're going to experience a completely different show, right? And it's going to definitely make you want to come back and experience it at a different time as well.
Exactly. We have a little example here. On Fridays, you come to really experience the Mayfair Supper Club show at 9 p.m. You have a great Friday night. Then on Saturdays, you come around midnight and you experience Mayfair After Dark, and you can party the night away. And then on Sundays, you come for the Mayfair Jazz and have a super sophisticated evening on a Sunday.
Perfect. And that being said, I just wanted to dive right into what an evening at the Mayfair will look like. So we've split this up into four different segments. The first segment is really a seating for people that will just come and enjoy a beautiful dinner paired with a tranquil piano that will be living on our 360 stage. So this actually here is a perfect outline of our stage that will be right in the center of the Mayfair. It can retract into the floor, which is going to come in handy later. We're going to talk about that. But basically, this is going to be a 360 experience. So you can see it from anywhere in the room. And we're also taking it off stage into the room, but we're going to go in there a little bit later. The second segment is our jazz segment. So now this is where we're starting to introduce our jazz trio that we just saw. We're integrating our lead female and male singers that are also our fabulous hosts of the evening. And we're now also throwing in our dancers into the space. They'll be walking around. They'll be interacting with you like they did here as well. And then the third segment is our jump and jive. This is our performance segment. This is really the, you know, that like fun moment where we're going to throw everything at you guys, dancers, singers, musicians, people dangling from the ceiling, all of that fun stuff. And then the last segment is our Mayfair After Dark on Fridays and Saturdays. This is our nightlife segment. And now you become the star because we now invite you to join us on the dance floor, our stage, lower us down into the ground, and we're going to party the night away with you.
Exactly. We're going a little bit more into detail about those four segments now for you to really understand what we're trying to achieve here. So early, right, people just want to have a great quiet night, a tranquil experience. People want to come into the space, and I don't know if you've seen renderings, that the space is going to be beautiful. I've never seen a space like this in the world.
We were there 2 days ago.
And exactly. It's coming to life.
Wow.
It's really beautiful. You just want to sit there and look around for 15 minutes and you discover new things all the time. So we're going to give people the time to come in, sit down, have a quiet evening, enjoy the space. You have the view of the fountains, it's still bright outside, and we're activating the room with a piano in the center of the room, right? We have a beautiful piano segment playing, and we have some dancers in the space. So this is our tranquil piano segment. Right now it's 7 o'clock, 7:30. We're gonna pick up the energy a little more, and we're gonna go into our jazz segment.
Exactly. This is my microphone. Perfect. So this is now going to be our jazz segment. Like I said earlier, we're now introducing our jazz trio. We're amping up the energy in the space, okay? So we're now playing some, you know, jazz classics. We're, you know, also using more modern songs and we're going to be jazzifying them. I think what's also really important to say is that we're going to be working with so-called downtime moments, right? So you're in a restaurant, so you know, definitely want to enjoy your dinner, conversate, order more drinks. So we're going to be throwing music at you, but we're not going to pull a hard focus in these moments. And we're always going to be giving you guys time in between to just come back to your conversation with your loved ones. Yeah, talking about our jazz segment, I would love to introduce our musical director, JF, my man, come on. Canadian guy. Welcome, welcome. JF, take a seat. Okay, so we've been talking about jazz a lot, but obviously this is a pretty long evening, right? So is there anything else that our guests can expect from the Mayfair besides jazz?
Yeah. Well, the main theme is around the 20s and jazz. We go from Cole Porter to to Cab Calloway, to even to Bob. We can expect to have 100 years of music covered. So we're playing some Amy Winehouse, some Pharrell, some Donny Hathaway. We go all over the place. But always we bring it back to the swing, to the 20s vibe.
I don't know, you guys have just experienced a little bit of it, right? We have some high energy, we have some old classic things that people love and remember. You really connect to the music and the space, and this is something I think we're all really passionate about, and we're so happy to have you.
All right. Shall we move on
to the Jump to Jive segment?
No.
This is going to be our performance segment, 9 o'clock, 9:30. We're amping up the energy. Now all of our performers are going to enter the stage. We're all coming through the audience. We're activating the room. We're all going to end up on stage in a big end pose, and then we're going to go into our first performance, which you guys actually saw. This was Sing Sing, and then we're going into a dunking thing. All right, so that's going to be our first moment with all of our dancers behind us. So you can expect a lot in this segment here.
Exactly. Just something we want to point out. The things you just saw, they're most of it is from the performance segment, right, from 9:30 on, where we have louder numbers, where we really pull focus for like 2-3 minutes, and then give 2-3 songs of downtime in between. So the run of show that you just saw, obviously, is a condensed version. Usually we have one big number, then 2 downtime numbers.
And then also what is super important for us to let you guys know is that we're going to be incorporating the audience into our show, okay? So we'll have dancers, we'll have our singers walk through the space, interact with you.
Are you ready for the Sun on the Strip spotlight? I hope so, because that's what we're doing now. I'm at one of my favorite places on the Strip this week, the Mirage. My family moved to Las Vegas in 1987. When I was 10 years old, and the Mirage opened 2 years later, very famously changed everything. It was the first modern mega resort, and I have some very vivid memories of being a kid and walking through this place and marveling at the indoor rainforest where I'm standing right now, and the huge fish tank behind the check-in desk. And I still love spending time here. I love Heritage Steak. It's one of my favorite restaurants on the Strip. I'm about to grab one last pastrami and corned beef sandwich at Carnegie Deli, which is closing in February after almost 15 years in business at the Mirage. I also try to get back to see the Beatles Love here around this time of year. It's not a holiday show, but I feel like it's a great fit for the season because the music, of course, is so beloved and familiar, and the overall performance is just really emotional. And it's just one of the signature resident shows running at the Mirage right now. The Terry Fader Theater is one of the busiest rooms on the Strip. Not only has it been hosting Terry Fader's show for more than 10 years, it's also the home of Boys to Men's amazing residency, the Aces of Comedy series that features some of the biggest names in stand-up, and is always bringing younger, I guess more upcoming comedians to the Strip. And the newest show here got started over the summer, Shin Lim's Limitless, which will continue through 2020. I haven't even mentioned Matt Goss, who performs Sundays in the One Oak Nightclub. This weekend, there's a new Mirage headliner, Kenny Babyface Edmonds. He's singing in the Terry Fader Theater December 27th through 29th, and again, January 17th through the 19th. Now, Babyface has had many R&B pop hits of his own as an artist over the years, but he's better known as a songwriter and producer who has collaborated with the biggest names in the business, from Whitney Houston and Madonna to Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men. Since he's playing in the same room as Boyz II Men, I assumed that was the connection that brought him to the Mirage. But it was actually Bruno Mars that told Babyface he should play Vegas and started the conversation with the guys at MGM Resorts. That's just one of the cool little details from my recent conversation with music legend Kenny Babyface Edmonds. Here's the rest.
This is exciting to be actually playing on the Strip. And, you know, how that kind of happened was I'd come a little early, a couple months earlier, I came to see Bruno's show. I've been in the studio working with Bruno. And so he invited me to come up and see his show over at the park. And he had just come to see one of my shows that I'd done. And he really liked it a lot. And he said, you should do Vegas. You definitely need to do Vegas. So when I got there, came to see his show, then he just kind of started talking to his people over at MGM, and next thing I know, there's an opening over at the Mirage, and we're going in there. So, because over the years, I kind of wanted to try give it a try, but just didn't really push on it completely too hard, and so it seemed to kind of all work in place, and Boyz II Men happened to be going somewhere, and so kind of grabbed their room and fill it out. It's going to be fun.
It seems like there are a few headliners in the kind of R&B genre in Las Vegas right now, at least in terms of those bigger rooms, like this one and where Bruno plays. But there's a ton of this music all over casinos and smaller showrooms and certainly in nightclubs.
Yeah,
it seems like R&B really continues to resonate with a broad audience, even if it's not on top of the pop charts all the time like it used to be. Why do you think that is, that it's still so popular?
Music is forever, and you have to understand that people, what you grow up with is what it stays with you. So when you get a chance to relive it and feel it over again, then you want to do that again and again. So there's really nothing else like it, and so it just shows the power of R&B, and it was kind of pop R&B at the time, because that's definitely what Boyz II Men were, and a lot of the songs that I did on a lot of the artists, you know, we were able to go to the top of the pop charts, because it was R&B was at that time looked at more as it was pop R&B. So what makes it fun and makes my show kind of fun is that I'll go through a medley of songs that I wrote for so many different artists, so it's kind of like a 90s review to a certain extent, because there were so many artists that I had a lot of success with, and it makes it a fun part of the show for sure.
Is there any of those songs that are particularly challenging for you to perform, or any of those songs that you really love to perform?
Nothing is particularly challenging, because it's all in fun. I think for the most part, when people think that they're coming to a Babyface show, they think they're coming to a slow, you know, ballad night, and they're going to get bored. And we always surprise them, because it's not that at all. Because really, by the time we finish, and especially go through the medley, it's got a lot of energy, and it's a whole lot of fun. And so to go through the Bobby Brown songs, or go through even do the Boyz II Men songs, or do Johnny Gill, or do from the Whispers to Drew Hill I can't even think of all the names at this particular point, but we go through just a medley of the guy stuff, and at some point I'm going to go through even the girl stuff, because I haven't even touched any of the girl medley stuff, but it's a lot of fun, and I think that's the thing that Bruno noticed, and he was just like, you gotta do this, because it's kind of like the soundtrack of our lives, certainly what he grew up and was inspired by, and so it was a night. It was a great night for him for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the artists that you were most inspired by when you were working together? Like, who really sparked something in you from a creative standpoint?
Well, I think that that's a whole. There's a whole list of that comes with that, from working with Stevie Wonder to even working with Michael Jackson, and then working with people like Whitney Houston or Toni Braxton. And you still get inspired. I mean, about 3 or 4 years ago, I did a record with Barbra Streisand, which was inspiring to even be in the studio with her and just to hear her voice and hear her actually see her art and her gift. So I think you are not always inspired to write a song, but inspired in terms of being proud to be in this business that we're in, making music and touching people with music. I think that's kind of the biggest, the gift that you walk away with is that you're a part of this a fraternity of music and artists, and to be able to be in the same room with people that have touched the world and continue to touch the world. That's a hell of a feeling. So that can only be inspiring.
Okay, let's do the weekend rundown. It's right before Christmas, of course, so it's a little slower than usual, but there's still a lot to do and see. Paula Abdul is back at the Flamingo. Ray Romano and David Spade are teaming up for that Aces of Comedy series at the Mirage. Chris Isaac makes his debut at Encore Theater at Wynn this weekend. And the CBS Sports Classic, two college basketball games featuring North Carolina against UCLA and Kentucky against Ohio State, takes over T-Mobile Arena on Saturday. You can always find more weekend entertainment options every Friday in my Best Bets column at LasVegasSun.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Sun on the Strip. If you're a regular, I really appreciate you listening and subscribing. I've been doing The Sun on the Strip for more than a year now, and it's really cool to get emails and messages from you. If you just discovered this podcast, I apologize. You're going to have to wait a few weeks to get a new episode. I'm taking a holiday break, but I'll be back next year on January 8th with all the news and fun from the best place in the universe. And every Wednesday after that with everything you need to know about Vegas shows, music, nightlife, food, and much more. You can reach me anytime at brock.radke at lasvegassun.com. If you're going to be on the Strip for New Year's Eve, have fun, be safe. I'll catch you in 2020. Happy holidays.